Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Good evening. It is Friday, April 10th, and it's Good Friday. And right now, the Catholic Church, and I believe the rest of the body of Christ, right now the Catholic Church is going through what they call the Easter Triduum. I should say Holy Week, and it's not the Easter Triduum, but the Triduum. And Thursday we had what you call a Passover Seder, where there was a reenactment of the foot washing that Jesus did to his disciples in the book of John. And also there's different accounts of it, not in Matthew and in Mark, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and John and Luke as well. But more like in John, that's where you get the complete narrative of this. And what happens in the Catholic Church is that they take 3 days, the last week of Lent, being Holy Week, and after Palm Sunday, and we go and we enact the Last Supper. And then on Friday, there's this whole thing about the Passion of Jesus. There's a reenactment of going, you know, walking the stations of the cross and understanding, having some kind of understanding, meditating on the Passion. And during these 3 days, we pray and we fast. And then there's the Holy Vigil, the coming of the Holy Fire from heaven, to that, you know, and the acknowledgement of the what do you want to say? What's Holy Saturday?
Holy Saturday is the culmination of the whole 3 days of prayer and observing with the Lord. In the Spirit, His
and the lighting of the Holy Fire in the church, and you know,
reception of the new Christian,
coming to the fullness of faith,
and it's also the day of vigil, waiting for the resurrection.
Right,
in the early morning hours, most communities have either a sunrise service or early morning service, proclaiming the resurrection with the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And this is a very holy time, even for Christians everywhere throughout the earth, no matter what denomination you come from, because there's a sense that of our recommitting ourselves and our lives and all that we are and have to offer the Lord, just our whole life on every level to the Lord. And you know, and I'm kind of, you hear this down, I'm kind of down in my heart right now, because this is what happens every Good Friday. I mean, we was in the hospital. And
I get a little sad, too. Like, here's someone who came and gave us the power to change the world. And look at the state of it. It's moving toward what he wants, but it's not moving as quickly as he probably would desire.
Yeah. And you know, human nature, you know, we have this free will, and what happens over time, you know, time is a measure of our existence. Time is a gift for man to get the things, the house in order. And after Jesus came, Jesus instituted a new time in our life, in the lives of mankind, in the lives of humanity.
And when we celebrate this week, you have to remember that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are outside of time. To them, the day the crucifixion happened is as if it happened today.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that God doesn't know time. He's outside time. Like Shirley said, time was made for man, not so that man could have an opportunity to ready himself to be with God.
And time is the creation, and Jesus came into time. The kingdom of heaven breaks into time, breaks into our time. For sole purpose of redemption of mankind from their sins. And so, you know, naturally, we recount as we're praying, as we are on our knees before the Lord, and as we're remembering, as we're meditating on the Passion, okay, that we bring, like today I brought before the Lord on my knees all my loved ones that at some time or another were, you know, I'm talking about my children, they were very, very, I want to say on fire, maybe because I was on fire, but of course as they got older, they kind of like became lukewarm. But I believe that this is the state of a lot of people's family, and then I'm looking at, you know, my son's struggle, the baby, we call him, Joshua, his struggle with autism, but, you know, the Lord has shown me everything for a purpose, and he really wants to change our perspective, okay? He wants to change, the Lord wants to change our perspective as we carry these crosses. We're not meant to carry these crosses all our lives, although each is a different aspect of the cross, but that he gives us these events like Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Holy Thursday to really search him out and to bring our loved ones to the Lord. It's not just enough for us to come to the Lord and to come to the knowledge of our salvation, you know, the fullness of knowledge of our salvation in him, you know, to come, you know, and hopefully, you know, gain complete salvation, because Jesus, when he comes the second time, he's going to come with a full package. You know, he's going to renew the face of the earth. He, everything, you know, the time we're entering into the restoration of all things. And right now, as we are entering into that new season, I really believe that the Lord wants us to bring all of our loved ones, you know, to him, you know, in their crosses, you know, as we lament for them in intercession. And this is the part that a lot of people have trouble with, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is that? Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, why? I mean,
so just think
about the cross. Think about the, you know, the different aspects of the cross, suffering.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, the human mind is repelled by any kind of suffering, even if it was someone who didn't deserve a single cell of a lashing. Or, now, this Jesus is not just a human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's a unique human being because both humanity and God and the deity meet in him. He is God and he is man.
Yeah.
It's because the love of God wanted to be expressed towards humanity by being human, not just being a demigod, part man, part God, but not effective. Jesus was very effective in his ministry. He showed people through the church scriptural tradition how to bring healing to people, how to bring deliverance, how to bless people, how to glorify his name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the great condescension. He who had all power, all knowing, all glory, gave it all up. He surrendered it so he could be more like us.
Right.
And that he also, by becoming a human being, he enabled himself to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we celebrate in these 3 days, that he gave us his presence in the Eucharist.
Right.
To remain with us forever.
Right.
And from the earliest times in the church, I'm reading a lot of different saints in the early church father days talking about the Eucharist, saying that it was always from one generation to the next, so 350 years after Christ,
mm-hmm.
the same tradition.
Right.
Before there was any division in the church,
mm-hmm.
they said the Eucharist was
mm-hmm.
what Jesus said it was.
Exactly.
You know, he who is the Word of God gave us his flesh and blood.
And this is, you know, the divine one of the divine attributes of Jesus' mission here upon the earth and in heaven. He sends his Holy Spirit
because
to begin the church.
And his purpose of demonstrating this miracle is calling down
mm-hmm.
the heavenly kingdom of God onto the earth.
Yeah.
In, like you said earlier, in restoration of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Because before the fall of man, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were one flow. It was that since sin entered the world, the flow got interrupted. The glory fled because he couldn't coexist with sin because it would destroy man.
So he came and he broke the power of sin. He took the sting out of death and he broke the power of sin.
Amen.
And many people are probably wondering, you know, when they hear that he took the sting out of death and the power of sin, it's funny that people are thinking, well, there's still funeral. There's, you know, every time you pass a grave end, I see where people were once lived in it. And they'll die. Well, that's on this side of eternity.
Yeah, but you know what they're called? You know what they're called? Cemeteries are actually waiting places.
Right.
The word literally means a waiting place. So those who died believing and trusting what God sent to them, he would be like Abraham. He had the power. He believed God, that God could raise up his son.
Yes.
He would just strike him in obedience to what God asked him.
Right.
But God didn't let him go that far, but he believed and trusted, and so did Jesus, and so did all the early day saints, and you know, and it's just such a glorious thing that he came. He wants more.
Yeah. Well, the victory is that he took the sting out of death, and he took the power out of sin to hold us to that fate of eternal
life,
eternal death. But now, he's bringing us, his life, death, and resurrection meant that we have that eternal life in him. But, you know, if he didn't die for our sins, we would still be in bondage. Humanity would still be in bondage to the final fate of where death, it takes people, you know. And it's through his blood, because there's life in Jesus' blood, in Jesus' shed blood. And, you know, the point that I'm trying to make in all this is that we cannot see spiritual things with our physical eyes, because, you know, Jesus came to give us a clear picture of, you know, the life in the spirit and how the life in the flesh opposes the things of the spirit. And he came to speak truth into our life about the spiritual realities on this side of eternity. And one of the spiritual realities that he wanted us to embrace through his shed blood of Calvary was that before he came, you know, his death was a permanent place. People went to Sheol or to the low place, or to, when they went into the grave, they went to a place, it says in the Jewish religion, the bosom of Abraham. Some people call it, you know, Hades, a low place. The ones that were meant to go to heaven and wait for the Messiah was in the bosom of Abraham.
They believed God in the word of God through his prophets.
Right.
Old Testament, David and all that, they believed and trusted God that the redemption would come.
Exactly.
And so they were in a waiting place.
So
that redemption, because they died in faith, they died believing God, that God had to wait for the fulfillment of time until the day Jesus would physically come to earth.
And so now, you know, after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, death, as we know it, is only asleep. That's why some people come back from the dead, if it's not their time, just to tell people, you know, what it's like either to go to hell or, you know, or if they have another mission that they need to fulfill. All right, because some people have died and went to the gates of hell and were terrorized. You know, Jesus allowed them to see what it would be like for sinners who did not repent and take him as Lord and Savior, make him Lord and Savior of their life. Okay, because we have this thing called free will that is a gift from the Lord, but we have to use it responsibly. We have to exercise it into our salvation by surrendering in our free will over to the will of Jesus.
Amen.
You know?
Glory.
But, you know, when we receive Jesus and when we abide in his presence, it's not enough to receive Jesus as we grow day in and day out in our personal relationship with the Lord, become more like him through the power of the Holy Spirit as we praise and worship him, okay, in peace and joy and all those wonderful gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. What happens is that we become more like him. We inherit in a greater way on this side of eternity, the kingdom of heaven, and, we move in the power of love and the power of glory. And so when it's our time to go, if Jesus tarries and he doesn't come back, he doesn't come back in our time, whenever, whoever I'm talking to, whatever your time is, what happens is that when our body ceases to breathe on this side of eternity, the eternal life that we inherit, is one of being in his presence. And we fall asleep in this life, and we awaken into eternal life in the next life. And it's really glorious. It's just really a place where, it's a place that many people that have come back or actually also have been taken up, translated or transported into the heavenly, they report on these heavenly realities. And so that people are not afraid to go into the heavens, whether they go there permanently. Well, when I say permanently, it's supposed to be that, if people fall asleep, in Christ, they're going to come back with Christ, as he said, comes back in power and glory to set the kingdom of God, of heaven on the earth. But there are going to be people that are going to still be alive on this side as time shrinks and decreases, and as eternity invades time, as we come into the fullness of time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how much God has gone through, and he's gone through to heal the broken relationship between the two of us.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it was not his fault, it was all the temptation to live for oneself.
Now, you say it was the two of us, what you're talking about?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, okay. the original two, right?
The family. Prototype family. And it's just, God tried to even restore the relationship in that day, but Adam ran away because ashamed.
Because his eyes were open
after he lost his spiritual
eye. Well, let's talk about we're kind of going into the life of Adam and Eve. What happened in the garden, Jeff?
Well, the garden was perfect. Communion with God was perfect. Glory was flowing on the earth.
And they lived in a place called paradise, a garden of Eden.
A well-watered garden.
Where the river God was flowing from the throne, day in and day out, different life.
In constant communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the enemy of God,
the enemy of our souls,
and our souls came into the garden.
And who was the enemy?
The devil, originally known for the angel state, Lucifer.
Right, before he fell from heaven.
From the connection, his angel connection with God.
Yeah.
Where he lost that connection,
which
made him become sick because he lost his spirit. He left his place in the divine order.
And what was his role when he was, part of the angelic creation?
He was the high worship leader. And he was the source of music.
Okay. So that's why there's that constant struggle between the demonic music and the...
And
the worship music, it's that, that's what a warfare is.
It's a fine line between what is godly and what is not.
Right. And so when he fell, What causes a fall?
Pride.
Exactly. Pride
is it might have taken millennia to build up in him.
Yeah.
But it seed of pride made him proclaim that he was greater than God, and
mm-hmm.
God couldn't allow it. So yes, like, I think that's trying to look for God.
Yeah. My whole theory about that is that I think at the time, gathering when he was Lucifer in, you know, near the throne room with God, he knew that music had a creative power, a creative force, but he was trying to separate that from God. He
yeah.
thought that because he was appointed a leader that, you know, he had all this authority and power over creation, and he did not have that.
No, because
it was a Lord that was created through.
He was a created being
yeah.
also
yeah.
who had his boundaries being part of the angelic
yes,
realm.
Yes, he was not the creator. Yeah.
So
he was just only the.
And I'm sure that God gave him an opportunity for repentance because he follows those mm-hmm. things. And then when it.
He was like the watcher of the music, you know, the guard, the appointed guard. But he went above and beyond what his call was for the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we want to say it that way, right?
Yeah.
Well, but it was not he was not creating.
No.
Because he was only one creator. Right?
He wanted to rise up and
yeah.
be in the position of God.
Yeah.
That's where the ultimate failure is.
Mm-hmm.
He not only fell himself, but he took a third of the other angels with him.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, from that fall,
mm-hmm.
came all the different dominions of
mm-hmm.
of the evil realm.
Now, what did he fall into? He fell right down to the earth? He was hurled down?
In the great battle between Michael and the devil,
yeah.
he was hurled down to the earth.
And it was like a major destruction that came when he entered the Earth's atmosphere. Yeah.
Talk about the first heaven, the second heaven, and
mm-hmm.
the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the third heaven is where God's throne exists.
Right.
So what happened is all the angels that sided with Lucifer
mm-hmm.
got pushed down and pushed out of the throne room realm
yeah.
into the second heavens, which became their realm.
Yeah.
And then from there, man was given the Earth realm in connection with the unity of the united connection with God, because God created them
mm-hmm.
in His image, His likeness, and then there existed this protective union.
And it was a catastrophic event when he fell to the earth.
Mm-hmm. It may have some creationist scientists believe that when he fell, it
mm-hmm.
caused havoc on the earth.
Yeah. So then. Then Adam and Eve were formed, okay, and God placed them in the garden, but then the serpent came around.
So the funny thing is God knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, he knew it was going to happen.
But he still loved enough to create.
Yeah,
he still loved to take the risk, even though he knew where the path was going
to
go.
Well, his plan for man was to restore everything back to its original form and to be stewards of the earth, but the enemy kind of like, you know,
side-stepped it.
Because his plan was to still get, the throne of God. And he said, now I have to do this through
mankind.
Yeah. So mankind was able to take his place.
And it was Adam's pride that allowed the fall to happen in the first place.
Is Adam's disobedience. Yes.
Pride and disobedience.
Yeah. Pride came from the enemy.
No.
Yeah, it was, you know,
it
was communicated to
the
man. Yeah.
God told me I couldn't eat this. What a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
kind of mentality. And
yeah.
I will be so much better if I eat this.
Well, the enemy said, this is what the enemy said, whispered to Eve, the woman, that you, will become like God. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with you eating that tree because your eyes will be open, you'll be just like God. Yeah, because he wanted to be so much like God. He was projecting his own stuff on
God. God doesn't know you.
Yeah, right.
So,
but you know what I'm saying?
God fell to his deception.
But you know, he was like enticing Eve, you'll be like God, but she probably didn't even care about that. But then he projected himself onto Eve.
And
she bought the lie.
Well, another thing that
I've
experienced in relation to what you just said
mm-hmm.
is that the enemy of our souls will project his angelic, demonic thoughts into our brain to make us think that they're our own thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he could have even done that with Eve until she bought into it and took a hold of it and then took that fruit and put it to her mouth.
Yes. So, you know, we just wanted to set a scenario of why Jesus came. So after that whole event happened, you know, the Lord comes and says, Adam, what's going on? You know, and the Adam were naked because their eyes were open. And he's like, well, how did you know? I said, well, the woman gave me the apple. And you ate of the apple? You ate of the fruit? You ate of the tree?
And it
shows
me not to.
Yeah, the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. Yeah. Okay. And then, but he knew, God being God, knew who was responsible for it. So then, you know, he...
gave a path of repentance. Resisted it.
Yeah. But the thing being is that he knew how helpless they were. So, you know, he clothed them himself, you know, and he knew that a spiritual law was broken and that they were going to have to now live on the earth, okay, away from the promise, but with the understanding that they will come back to that. But not only that, he put a promise in them that it's through Eve's seed, that the seed will bruise the head of the serpent, which is Jesus.
The seed will bruise the head
of the serpent.
And the serpent will bite his heel.
Yeah, but he will bite the heel, but...
You're still under the heel.
And that heel is Jesus, okay? So the thing being is that that's why, you know, his blood is so important, his redemption. And we have about 33 minutes left on this broadcast, a special Good Friday broadcast, okay? And I think that it's very appropriate for us to bring all of our loved ones to the cross. And we're going to just, you know, the next half an hour, we're going to just meditate on the passion of Jesus. And, you know, we're going to sing this song. It's like a simple little meditative phrase that goes like this. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And just bring all your loved ones to the cross, to Jesus, you know, to go back to the time where, you know, we were all at Calvary with him, and he was just, you know, shedding his blood for all of our sins before he went, you know, before he left the cross.
I want to start on what most Christians consider Holy Thursday, and the scriptures of the...
But
give you a scripture.
We only have to have now, so I think we should just stop at the agony. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
which one do you want me to do? Okay, well, we'll go right into prayer. You know, we'll just look at the agony of God, right, and then think about what happened there, and just here and there, and we'll omit this. We did a little meditative book that we're looking at. And so we're going to start with the agony in the garden. And this comes from John, I think. Yeah, the Gospel of John. Okay, all right. We're going to think, you know, of our Lord Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. He suffered a bitter agony for our sins, okay? And Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane, you suffered a bitter agony because of our sins. Lord, this grant us true repentance of our sins, especially our loved ones that have not come to you. And we just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we offer you this prayer in this spiritual, we meditate upon this spiritual text from John. Okay, and here we are. Then they went to a place that was called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John, and they began to suffer distress and anguish. And he said to them, my soul is sorrowful even to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. withdrawing from them about a stone's throw, he knelt down and prayed, Father, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. Returning to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He said, Simon, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went apart and prayed, saying the same word. Then he came again and found them sleeping, and they did not know what to say to him. When he returned a third time, he said to them, Are you still sleeping? Enough. The hour has come when the Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. Look, my betrayer is approaching. At once, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. There was a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. Judas proceeded directly to Jesus and said, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they seized Jesus and placed him under arrest, and everyone deserted him and fled. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The second passion of the cross, the scourging at the pillar. And Jeff is going to read the prayer associated with the scriptural text, and he's going to read the scripture. Okay.
Lord Jesus, we offer you the second mystery of your suffering. In honor of your bloody scourging, we ask of you, through this mystery and through the intercession of all holy ones, the grace to mortify our senses.
Amen.
As soon as this morning, the chief priests held a council with the elders and the scribes and the whole Sanhedrin. They bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, Who are you, King of the Jews? Jesus replied, You have said so. Then the chief priest brought many charges against him. Again, Pilate questioned him, Have you no answer to offer? Just consider how many charges they are leveling against you. But Jesus offered no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. The chief priest incited the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas. Pilate then asked, And what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews? They shouted back, Crucify him. Pilate asked them, Why? What evil has he done? But they only screamed all the louder, Crucify him. A third time Pilate addressed them, Why? What evil has he done? I have not found in him any crime that deserves death. Therefore I will have him scourged and let him go. However, with loud shouts they continued to insist that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. Pilate ordered that what they wanted was to be granted. And so Pilate, anxious to appease the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after handing Jesus over to be scourged, he gave him over to be crucified.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The third mystery of the Passion is the crowning with thorns. We just want to think of the crown of sharp thorns that was forced upon our Lord's sacred head and the patience with which he endured pain for our sins. For Jesus, we offer you this third sacred mystery of the Passion, to honor your crown with thorns, and we ask of you through this holy mystery and through the intercession of all the saints upon the earth, the grace of moral courage. The soldiers led Jesus away inside the palace that is the Praetorium, and they called the whole cohort together. They dressed him in a purple robe, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they placed it on him. Then they began to salute him with the words, "Hail, King of the Jews." They repeatedly struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt before him in homage. Once again, Pilate went out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no evidence of a crime in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When they saw him, the chief priests and the temple guards shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." From that moment on, Pilate sought to release him, but the people kept shouting even louder, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench at a place known as the stone pavement in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Pilate said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They shouted, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Am I to crucify your king?" Pilate asked them. The chief priest replied, "We have no king but Caesar." And he handed him over to be crucified. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
The fourth mystery of the Passion, carrying of the cross. Think of the heavy cross so willingly carried by our Lord, and ask him to help you to carry your crosses without complaint. Lord Jesus, we offer you this fourth mystery in honor of your carrying the cross, and we ask of you, through this mystery and through the intercession of your Holy One, great patience in carrying our cross in your footsteps every day. When they had finished mocking Jesus, they stripped him of the robe, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they encountered a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. A large number of people followed Jesus, among them many women who were mourning and lamenting over him. But he turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children." There were also two others, both criminals, who were led away to be executed with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him some wine to drink that had been mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink the mixture. And after they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down there to keep guard over him. Above his head was inscribed the charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two thieves were crucified with him, one on his right and another on his left. Those people who passed by jeered at him, shaking their heads, saying, "You who claimed you could destroy the temple and rebuild it within 3 days, save yourself if you are truly the Son of God, come down from the cross."
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The fifth law for mystery of the Passion, the crucifixion. Now, as we go and meditate upon the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I just want you, the listening audience, to just sit back and ask the Lord who it is that you would like, you know, them to, you know, who it is that you want to come to the cross. With anybody that we may know, it could be family members, it could be, you know, somebody that you met, you just met today, or, you know, or somebody that you haven't met, but the Lord will put the right, He will put the faith in your spirit. And we just want to supernaturally bring them to Calvary and, you know, just have them receive from Jesus, okay, as we meditate upon this last mystery of the sorrowful passion. And, you know, there is no, you know, there is victory, and we're not in, we're not, like, staying on the side of the cross, because we, you know, there is a resurrection, and right now we are in the resurrection power, but also there's power in the cross to get to the resurrection. In order to get to the resurrection glory and the resurrection power, we need to go through the cross.
It's amazing how many people don't want to go through the cross, mm-hmm. but they want to get to the resurrection.
They want to circumvent the cross, which is no way.
Jesus couldn't circumvent it because that was the divine will for Jesus, mm-hmm. and we can't either.
If Jesus suffered,
if we circumvent it, we're going to be lost.
We're going to be, you know, in order to become like Jesus, we need to go through the suffering, we need to go through His life, death, and resurrection, and that's the way that we become like Jesus. We go through the same step. And He says greater things that we can do in these times, because He's with the Father, and He sends us the Holy Spirit. So we can only do this in the Holy Spirit that He sent. All right, so let's focus now on the crucifixion, okay? We want to think of the love that filled Christ's sacred heart during His 3 hours of agony on the cross, and ask Him to be with us at the hour of our death as we die to self daily, every day, so that His Spirit can live freely in us. Lord Jesus, we offer You this fifth mystery of Your sorrowful passion to honor Your crucifixion on Mount Calvary, the place of the skull. And we ask of You through this holy mystery and through the intercession of Your Holy One, the grace of final perseverance. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. One of the criminals said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, which is John, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. About 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. They soaked a sponge in the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, It is finished. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun was darkened. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And with these words, he expired. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers thrust a lance into his side, and immediately a flow of blood and water came forth. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloth, according to Jewish custom. At the place where Jesus had been crucified, there was a garden with a new tomb in which no one had ever been buried, so they laid Jesus there in the tomb. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And we will sing that one more time before our loved ones and we save them. Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen. So we have like 13 minutes to go remaining in this special Good Friday broadcast here in the station studio, WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we are broadcasting out of the New England area, in other words, the greater Boston area, which is Stoughton, Massachusetts, and that's the southern part of New England. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you as we were meditating upon the sorrowful mysteries of Christ's passion, okay, the Lord brought to me a vision that he had given me about the day that in which we live in accordance to his passion, okay. It was a dream vision. And I was taken to, like, it looked like a shack, like the shack that was described in the book, the shack, before the shack was even written. This was a couple of years ago. And I was in this broken down shack, okay? And I was wondering how I got there. And I was looking for somebody. I was looking. I didn't even know who I was looking for and why I was looking. I just was looking. I felt like somebody was lost, and I had to go find them. But who were they? I don't know. And all of a sudden, I looked up because I was beckoned by the Spirit of the Lord, by a voice above me. So I come to know that there was the Spirit of the Lord to look up. And it was so funny. This room was not dark. It was like, it almost was like an abandoned building, but it was under reconstruction. It was being renovated, and there was a hole in the roof. And there was a little darkness that was, you know, like a dark hole. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, I got a little fearful. And then the voice above said, do not get fearful. And all of a sudden, as I was looking up, this drop comes from the hole in the ceiling. It was like 2x4s with a hole. It wasn't even like a perfect hole, though. A chucky hole, or I don't know what chucky holes are, but it wasn't one of those ripped holes. It was like it was 2x4s that needed to come together to fill the hole. And and I went to go feel my head, and it was blood. I'm like, whoa. And I thought, immediately I thought, oh my God, there's a dead body up there. And it wasn't a dead body. It was just one drop of blood. And then I woke up. And I'm like, Lord, what was all that about? Was there a dead person up there? And the Lord said, no, there's not a dead person up there. I said, whose blood was that? He goes, it was my blood. I said, oh. And then I began to ask him, why just one drop? Okay? And there were many saints that had gone before us, had the same conversation with the Lord, and the Lord revealed to them that he was How many stripes did he receive?
40 minus 139.
39 stripes. Some saints have gotten revelation about this, and they wrote it in their journals. And then he began to give him revelation about what each drop of blood represented. So the Lord gave me the privilege to know that I was living in a time where that one drop of blood, you know, there was like one drop of blood left before his return for mankind, like one drop. One drop. We're in like 2,000 years ago, all right? Jesus came, and he was only on this earth in the flesh for 33 years, okay? And his ministry was only for 3. And, you know, his ministry on the earth, okay? You know, but now he's in a place of intercession, the right hand of the Father. And that, you know, he says, you know, his blood is constantly being poured out upon the earth. But for each decade, each ordained time of man's existence in each generation, and we are living in a generation where there's only one drop left, and it's fallen upon mankind right now. And the drop of blood is very powerful. It's the most powerful drop. The last drop is the most powerful drop in this 11th hour of man's salvation history. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, body of Christ. Receive the blood of Jesus. Receive this last drop of blood right now. The blood for the blood of the Lord that would cleanse even the darkest demonic forces from our children, from, you know, there's so many people that have, you know, been delusioned and illusioned into being worshipers of the devil because they're not given the truth about what hell really is. And sometimes there are people that say that hell is just a state of mind which doesn't really exist. But, for some reason they're set up to follow Satan. And the Lord is saying there's one drop of blood for those people that have fallen into the deception of entering into Satanism, entering into witchcraft. The Lord is saying that drop is for you, to deliver you of all the demonic realm that you kept yourself into, knowingly or unknowingly. There's still time to repent. Just receive that drop of blood for total deliverance. It's also what the Lord is saying for those people that are caught up in the drug addiction, the OxyContin, and prescribed medications, but they're in denial. They're saying, "Well, I'm not really a drug addict because this is it's just prescription medication that my doctor's writing out." But the Lord is saying that He's going to free you from addiction. And I just want to go back again to the people that are caught up in the occult and the New Age movement and the Satan, different forms of Satanism. The Lord is saying that that there's an addiction to hell. The Lord wants to break the addiction to fear and hell right now off of your back. There's an addiction and a bondage and addiction, and it does something to your adrenaline where you would need these drugs to overcome and to calm you down. But it brings you actually deeper and deeper and deeper to the pits of hell. But the Lord is saying His blood, this last drop, all right, this last drop is for you to be cleansed, to be delivered, to be set free, to be transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to be transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to be transformed and translated into from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This hour is for you. That one drop. And his one drop is not like one tiny little teardrop. It's like gallons. It's gallons. It's big. It's humongous. Humongous drop with so much power. So much power and so much glory. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That drop is, I'm just like, I was in that drop just now. I was back in that vision. That drop is so big. It's so big. It's so huge. The drop is for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Is there anything, Chester, you want to say about that? I just got really the fire of the Lord just came upon me. When Jesus and the guy in the Gethsemane, his drop, he was crying blood. Well, he was crying blood, but it was the sweat. His sweat came like drops of blood.
Well, the thing is, there's no time to procrastinate. The hour is now because you don't know. Tomorrow you could step off a curb and get struck by a car and die. And there are two realities. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. Which one are you prepared to go to by making your choice now and living for God now? The scripture says, now is the hour of salvation, which means right now, this moment here, if anyone hearing my voice, right now is the moment. No more procrastination. No more playing games with the enemy camp. Choose now. Choose now. Make a clear choice, yes or no?
And I think that, you know, for those who want to make a clear choice, I think you have 4 minutes left. These are the most important, powerful 4 minutes on Good Friday that has ever probably been on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if other Christians are meditating on the Passion, but let's bring people to Jesus. Let's bring people to the cross. Let's have that drop of blood will fall upon the people that pray in the sinner's prayer. We have to acknowledge, that we're sinners. Okay, for those who have not repented, for those who have been vacillating, it's a good time to rededicate their lives to the Lord. So we have 3 minutes. We just thank you, Lord. We say, Lord, we are sorry. We are sinners. We are sorry for our sins. We realize, Lord, that you came and you died for our sins. You are the Son of God, and you are the Son of Man. And that you came that we may have life and have it abundantly. You died for our sins, and you are resurrected, and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, hearing all of our prayers. So, Lord, we ask, we give you our heart. We ask you to change it. We ask you to transform it. We ask you to conform it to your will, to your image, to your way, so it can be more like you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. Okay. We thank you, Lord. Amen. And, Lord, anything that is in us, Lord, for those that have been following him but are baptizing, we ask right now, Lord, that your blood would just cleanse them of anything that is not of you. We thank you, Jesus, who will cleanse and deliver from evil.
May the eyes of their heart
be opened. And may your ears and may the ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And we have 2 more minutes left. And the Lord was just showing me in the last 2 minutes, think of how he created the earth. He showed me that the word that's in the word heart, E-A-R, is ear. The word that is in the earth is ear. He wants to give you ears to hear what his Spirit is saying. And he's asking the earth, to open up the ears. That's what the earth means. We are ears here in this earth. We have ears. The earth is called the earth because it's the ears to the throne room. The blessed is one to open up the ears. Yes. And we're made of the earth. That's what the earth really means. We are the earth because we have ears, spiritual ears that the Lord gives us to hear him. So we ask that the Lord would open up the spiritual ears of his people in Jesus' holy name. We thank you for watching Blog Talk Radio. Okay, and we are about ready to go off. But God bless you and have a glorious resurrection day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.